Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda Ellsworth here, and I'm so excited about today's show. We have a great guest, Deb Bixler, and Deb is a direct sales success story in the most classic sense. Working in the corporate world for over 30 years, she used her home party plan business as a transition tool to step into the world of entrepreneurship. In only 9 months, Deb took her party plan business from zero to a commission capable of replacing her $80,000 a year job. She has since been recognized as a Direct Selling Women's Alliance 2011 Speaker of the Year and has been honored in the Direct Selling Power 50 for 3 years consecutively. She is one of the most influential educators in the industry. Her Cashflow Show party plan website, cashflowshow.com, was named as one of the top three blogs for direct sales consultants worldwide, and the Cashflow Show radio is on the list of 2012-2013 list of must-have items for the industry. Often referred to as a home party plan expert or alternately the booking queen, I think I have said enough and will let Deb tell you a little bit more about herself. So it's my pleasure to welcome Deb Bixler.
Thank you, Belinda. It's a pleasure to be here. I'll tell you, this is a real honor to be on your podcast. I appreciate the invitation.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm excited about today's show. I think we're going to have some great insights for folks. So why don't you just take a moment now? It was a great bio, but just fill us in and tell us a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit more about Deb Bixler, about this journey, and about kind of how you're living your life out loud right now.
Well, okay. So you sort of gave my story a little bit. What happened was, you know, I didn't go to school for business or even for that matter, go to party plan college, but I am a trained chef. And I went to Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. I had a really good job. And I worked for 30 years as a general manager. My last job, I was general manager of a French restaurant and a silver service catering company. And I was a workaholic. I worked constantly. I had a lot of stress. I had a lot of friends. I made a lot of money. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. That's why I did it for 30 years. But one day I realized that just everything I was doing was for somebody else. And I was missing family holidays and, you know, birthdays and the whole story. And so I did. I went to a party. I met a consultant who, here's a good lesson for our listeners. You know, the very beginning of his party, he said, "Watch what I do here today. And for those of you who would like to learn more about making money and having fun with my fantastic company, just get with me after the show and I'll be glad to give you more information." Just one little drop sprinkle at the beginning of the party. And long story short, about 60 days later, I signed up and was committed to either quitting my full-time job in 9 months, because in the restaurant business, you work really, really hard between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I met him over Thanksgiving, and then couldn't do anything because I had to work 100-hour work weeks. And so when I finally started in January, I decided that I wasn't going to go through another holiday season. And that's why I became like, you know, you can do anything that you set your mind to for a brief period of time. And I took a pay cut on my job. I took a 50% pay cut, and instead of being the GM, I started being a truck loader on the catering docks. And I decided I was quitting before the next holiday season, and that's exactly what I did.
That is awesome.
And Belinda.
Yes.
About 10 days after I started my party plan business, I went to one of your seminars in Maryland on how to do your party plan business and be success. And I have to say it was instrumental in my success in party plan. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. You know, 2 points I want to make there, but one is I love that story, and it's really interesting to me. I had another, she's a top leader with a company right now, has a team of, you know, several thousand people. And she said, how fortunate was I that I'd only been signed up for like about 4 days when my leader said, you know, oh, this gal's coming to our town and she generally only comes once every, you know, few years. So, you know, it's probably going to be a little overwhelming, but you got to go. And she said, I bought all your CDs and I just listened to them over and over again. And it really started my career off. I'm so thankful for that now, that I learned the right way to do things at only like 4 days in, instead of creating bad habits. So I'm sure that same exact thing happened for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the points I wanted to make that you made, that sometimes there's little nuggets in here that people miss. And one of the things that you said was, in order to transition your life into the life that you wanted to have, is that you took about a 50% pay cut. So you made an intentional decision to say, okay, I can't just quit, but I am going to back off. I'm going to take a pay cut to pursue to the lifestyle that I truly want to have. And I talk to people so often, and like you said, you went from being this general manager to loading a truck. And one of the big hangups that I hear from people all the time is they're so worried about what other people are going to think, or how they're going to appear, or I can't do that. Like I've had people say to me, well, I can't lower myself from being the head of this to going and like being a delivery person or to stocking shelves or doing whatever. And it's like, if you're pursuing a dream, you can do whatever it takes to get you to that. It's a transition. And I just wanted to point that out, because I think that people get hung up right in that space. I can't go from there to there in order to get me to C. Like, I can't go from A to B in order to get to C, which is where I really want to be, because everybody's going to look at me and say, wow, what a loser that she went from A to B. So I love that you pointed that out.
Well, and of course, people thought I was crazy, right?
Right on.
You know. Right. But, you know, that's okay. Everybody that's successful is perceived as crazy at some point in life. And, you know, but one thing that I realized is that, you know, in order to sometimes to overcome or get past a certain point, you need to burn bridges. And but you don't want to burn them completely down that they can't be rebuilt, you know, so you're stuck. So, you know, what I did was, I mean, really, if you give up your GM job and take a 50% pay cut, you're burning a big bridge, because they probably won't let you come back and be the GM again if it doesn't work. But yet, I didn't totally like leave. And I still, like, if the party plan thing didn't work out in 9 months, that was my mission, then I could have gone back to the restaurant business. So I burned my bridges, because that makes me more proactive and aggressive. But I didn't burn them to the point that if things weren't going right, I couldn't go back.
That's an awesome, great point. So share with us a little bit now then how this business has shaped your lifestyle since you made that decision and since you've moved forward with it, sort of the rest of the story.
Well, you know, I did end up quitting and 9 months later, and I had 20 shows a month for 7 years. Party Plan was my total household income during that time. And I loved it. I loved doing parties. I loved teaching. I always have. I was a teacher and a trainer. I did cooking classes and things even. And when you have a corporate job, you're always in the public spotlight. So, you know, I was already kind of out there doing little PR things for my company and stuff. But I just started doing it for myself, and I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, people, I was really successful. And actually, I saw you again at National Conference. Everybody should go to conference every single year. And, you know, after a while, other companies started asking me to train their teams as opposed to just within my own team. And of course, you're really not allowed to do that. And so I just started making a second transition into being an educator and, you know, doing less parties and things, and then eventually moved over to that full time. And now I that's what I do. I'm a work at home educator. I do live events, teleclasses, but mostly virtual and from my home office, and just kind of live my life the way I prefer.
Which is very interesting, Deb Bixler. I kind of watch that life through a different lens, like all of us, and that's through Facebook. And we just see the great posts and things that you're doing. And I feel like you're the epitome of an individual who lives their life to the fullest. So why don't you just share with our listeners some of the fun things, some of the great hobbies that you have, or what a day in the life looks like of Deb Bixler, because I think that you have created an amazing sense of work-life balance. And that's not always easy to do. So kind of fill our listeners in. Like, I learned something today. I don't know how I missed it. It makes sense now. Or maybe I knew it and I totally forgot it. I totally had forgotten that you were a professional chef. Maybe I didn't know that. Maybe I just put it way back in the recesses of my mind. It makes a little bit more sense now, knowing that story and where you went and what company that you started with. But you really... I don't think many of our listeners probably know all the things that you do in a day. So why don't you just share a little bit of that with us?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I do that much in a day. You know, something about social media, and this really doesn't relate to me that much, but, you know, you got to be careful comparing how you feel to how other people look, or how you are inside to how other people are outside. You know, social media just presents people in a spotlight that everybody looks better. You know, so
I agree. Yeah, because you're always just posting the good things, but you post interesting things every day. So just tell us a little bit about, you know, your home life.
Well, I live in rural Virginia. It's west of the Blue Ridge. You know, most people think Virginia, they think Washington, D.C. So this is pretty much farm life. One of my motivators when I first started the transition was I wanted to spend more time doing what I enjoyed most, and that's hiking and spending time in the woods, also family time, of course, and things like that. But, you know, one of my goals was to spend more time in the woods, and actually now I get to spend more time in my woods. But this is I guess you could call it a farm. I don't really call it a farm, but most of the properties around here are a farm, and we have ducks and rabbits and bees and mushrooms. My mushroom logs started growing yesterday. They weren't supposed to sprout until March. And really, since it was cold, I wasn't going to pay any attention to them really till April. And I went out yesterday to pick some comfrey, some plants for the rabbits. And there I had mushrooms, four mushrooms bigger than my hand.
Wow.
It was so exciting. Shiitake mushrooms on logs. So it was so exciting. But... you know, it's like a little kind of farm. I call myself a lazy farmer. I'm not really big on work. And so I like animals, the critters that are farm work. I hate to weed. I like farm work. You know, mushrooms, it's like you get your inoculated logs. They're about 30 inches long, and you stack them in a grid, like 10 or 12 of them high, and you let them lay there for 9 months, and boom, you have mushrooms. That's my kind of farming.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah, so what's my day like? That's an interesting question. I don't have an alarm clock. I don't use an alarm clock in my house. And so I basically sleep till I wake up, which isn't really necessarily late, but if it does happen to be late, it's okay with me. And so I sleep as late as I want every day. I eat a good breakfast. I walk a mile a day no matter what, and I take care of my critters. And, you know, I still do cooking classes outside of the house because I love them. I have a set of clientele where I love cooking. I do a lot of cooking in the house, and also public cooking classes, because I really enjoy that. And it gives me the opportunity to travel, you know, back to see relatives and stuff and use this income tax deduction.
Sure.
So I don't know. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did. So what do you think two of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you be successful in owning your own business?
Well, for one thing, I'm an organizational genius.
Okay.
But for another thing, I don't know if this is really a skill, but I've always enjoyed physical labor. So that's one reason why I was good at the restaurant business. And I tend to be consistent. And I don't know if that's really a skill, but, I tend to be not one person like that's going to make 50 calls today, but more like I'll make three a day every day for the rest of my life. It's kind of like one foot in front of the other all the way up the mountain kind of situation. It's just like you don't have to like run. You don't have to be really aggressive. You just need to be consistent. And so that might be three, but I'm not even sure if they're really skills, but that's my answer.
Well, I would definitely say it's interesting because I teach this with the whole Power Hour system, that there's four key skill sets in that, that it helps promote. And one is organization and one is consistency. And of course, the other two are commitment and focus. And so I think that you've brought out two of what I think are really important skill sets. So you say you're an organizational genius. You want to elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think that's something that people struggle with quite a bit.
Well, it's hard to teach, but first you have to believe it and then it'll start to happen, I think. But, you know, just for an example, this is a really silly example, but in the restaurant business, I could teach you the quickest way to cut a tomato into wedges with minimal waste. You know, it's just like I can do a task and, you know, everybody else is taking the core out and then cutting it in half and then dividing it in eight. Whereas I just like cut in half and cut around the core and I got nine wedges in one core and you're done. And it's like three quarters of the time. And then I can teach people how to do that. I'm really good at teaching people. I'm a traveling chef. So I don't know if anybody here did anything like that. But every time I go out to do a cooking class, I have to take everything with me that I need for that cooking class. And in 2 hours, I'm teaching people how to make whatever, anywhere from three to five or eight dishes in pots, pans, cookingware, food, salt, pepper. You know, in order to be able to do that and pack it in my car with minimal effort, you have to be an organizational genius. So I'm not sure what the question was originally, but I guess it's a skill that I just had. And so you have to be willing to develop that. People who say, I'm not organized, they're just, you know, the more you talk about a problem, the worse it gets. And so people who, yeah, so you really want to make a decision to be in the process, you know, instead of saying I am an organizational genius, because most people who would, you know, it's all about positive thought and affirmations, whatever you want to call it. But if you said to yourself, because you're not organized and you just changed your affirmation to I'm an organizational genius, it isn't going to work for you because your conscious mind is going to say, no, you're not. But if you say, you know, an affirmation that indicates transition, like I'm becoming more organized or I'm in training to be an organizational genius, your conscious mind won't argue with it and you'll start on the process of getting better at it.
That is a great point. I for me, that's always been, it was in the past, a struggle. And I would still say that if you came into my office in the middle of any given day, you wouldn't think I was very organized because it's a mess. But by the end of the day, in the beginning of the day, everything is in its place. And at the end of the day, everything has a place to live. I have, you know, different tools for each thing and how I go about my day. And I just think that for me, I had to say, I am working on being more organized. And eventually I became, and most people will go, are you kidding me? You're more organized than I ever could imagine. But for me, it's a constant something I have to work at daily, like going back and then picking everything up and putting it back in its place. So I do think that self-talk is what generally brings people down the most, is they keep confessing that they're not any good at something. So that is a great analogy on that. And the other point that I wanted to make is I loved what you said about consistency, because everybody in their mind thinks, okay, if I'm consistent to make these calls, I got to do 10 calls a day. And it doesn't matter what it is, it's just being consistent in what you choose to do with the time that you have. So if that's 3 calls a day, then just make your 3 calls a day, but do it every day, like you said, for the rest of your life. And when you do that, you get results. It's that simple. I wish people could understand that it's just that simple. And
you get better at it too. Like if you do 50 calls today, by the end, you're like losing it. And then you're dreading it the next time you have to do it. But if you do 3 calls a day every day, no matter what, after 50, you know, 10 days, you're getting better and better and your skills are improving and you know more about the best time of day. And you just get better at it and you remember what you learned yesterday, whereas just doing big chunks of work at one time and not doing it again for a month, you forget what you learned.
Absolutely. All right. So tell us about an obstacle or a challenge that you faced and how you worked through that.
Recently, I took a trip to Japan to see my sister. And for some reason, when I was doing research on getting ready to go on that trip, I saw a picture of Mount Fuji, and I decided I was going to hike up it. And I did. And it was much bigger challenge than I expected. But I did hike to the top of Mount Fuji in the beginning of September. So that was a challenge that I had. I wouldn't say that it was harder than I expected. But really, the only way to do something like that is, like I said before, is one foot in front of the other. And that's what I did.
Great. Now,
that's how I overcame it.
I want you to elaborate a little bit on this, because I have to say that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show today, or what inspired me to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'd love you to be a guest. I haven't been quite, and maybe it's because I'm in a health journey myself right now. I don't know what it was, but when I started seeing your posts on your climbing Mount Fuji and going through each of the stations, and I don't know. My husband even said, what's gotten into you? I mean, I was following it step by step. We were out on our boat and with a big group of people, and I'm giving them complete step-by-step feedback. Okay, she's at station 5 now. I mean, I was into it in a way that I haven't been into something in a really long time. I was so inspired by you doing that. So, and then I was like, I'm going to do this. And then after I talked to you, I was like, ooh, maybe I need to rethink this just a teeny little bit. Is this something I really think I can do or want to do? And so I just had to stop, like, take a step back and go, okay, that's a bigger, like you just said, bigger challenge than maybe even what you expected. So just share a little bit about that. I think it's funny because I asked you, was this a big goal for yours? And you're like, no, I saw a picture and thought, well, that could be a fun thing to do, which I think is hysterical. But then once you made that decision, so what were some of the steps then that, you know, share with us a little bit about that journey? Because the average of us listening are not going to be climbing Mount Fuji. I hope to, because I was so inspired by it. But just share with us a little bit about that, some of the emotions that you went through that, because I think that is some of the same things that people go through in other big challenges that they have, or other big enormous goals that they don't even seem to know, you know, how to tackle it, or how you felt, like you thought, okay, I'm going to do this. But then I got up there and I was like, whoa, this is a little bit harder than I thought. So then how did you work through that in your mind, and how did you keep going? So can you just share a little?
Well, yeah, just like anything else, training is really important. I didn't train a whole lot for it. I do live an active lifestyle. My basic routine is to walk a mile a day, no matter what. I'm not a big person on taking time out of my life to drive to the gym and spend money exercising, but I live a really active life. So I consider myself pretty fit. I've hiked, you know, not every weekend, but I hike a lot, you know, not hard, really hard, but I hike a lot. And when I was younger, I had hiked the Appalachian Trail. I hiked when I was 21. I hiked from Georgia, Springer Mountain, to the Delaware Water Gap. And we had originally started out, we're just young hippies, you know, goofballs. And we had originally started out, plan was to do the whole trip all the way up to Maine, and had controversy of personality problems and, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, we stopped at Delaware Water Gap. And in my whole life since then, I've always said that when I retire, I'm going to hike the other half. I'm going to go up to Mount Katahdin, Maine, and hike back to the Delaware Water Gap. Well, I've been, you know, now I'm getting older. I'm not retired, but, you know, I'm just relaxing more. And I've been in the back of my brain, if you're going to hike the Appalachian Trail, you better get on the stick, Deb. Then I saw that picture of Fuji, and I thought, well, if I can hike Fuji, then I can hike the Appalachian Trail. This will be my test.
Right.
Yes. So, but the funny, it was probably harder than the Appalachian Trail will be.
Absolutely. And for those that don't know, The Appalachian Trail is what, almost 2,800 miles. So half of it's like 1,400. I think I have that pretty accurate. It's at least over 2,000 miles, I know.
Well, the whole trail runs from Springer Mountain, Georgia to Mount Katahdin, Maine. And we quit at the Delaware Water Gap. So we hiked more than half of it at that point. And so it's like 3 months in the woods.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, like to think people don't, if you don't know anybody, I have a nephew that walked the entire trail. And it takes about 5 to 6 months to complete the whole thing. So I just thought I'd share that. Because when you shared with me, I said, Deb, are you a hiker? And you go, well, I hiked half of the Appalachian Trail. That's when I went, okay, she and I are not on the same page. That's when I was like, okay, I need to rethink this just a teeny weeny bit. So that's awesome. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
It's pretty much just doing what doing whatever I want. I'm psychologically unemployable at this point. So even if things weren't going so well, I probably couldn't go get a job anymore because I've been spoiled from working at home. And, you know, I have friends and spend time with family and, you know, just, you know, doing whatever I set my mind to and make a decision to do it and enjoying it. You know, the whole thing about Fuji is that, you know, it was so hard, it almost wasn't fun. And, you know, sometimes almost every I love to ski. And when I ski or hike, I often think how similar the challenges are to running a home business. You know, a lot of people never get to be expert skiers because they never commit to going down the hill. Well, you know, a lot of people never get to be, you know, you have to literally drive yourself down the hill. You know, some people slide, but really a good skier really literally makes a decision to drive themselves down the hill. And that's what it takes to be an expert. And, you know, just like a home business, some people never commit to the hill. You know, I walk up this one hike I take, Sunfish Lake. It's in New Jersey. I usually take it in the spring. And it's 4.5 miles uphill all the way, which, in fact, hiking up Mount Fuji is not more than 5 miles. But it's a very high elevation. You're going up 12,000 up to over from almost like you start in Tokyo, which is zero elevation, almost sea level, and go up 12,000 feet. So you're dealing with altitude sickness. There's parts of it that you have to use all fours. And a lot of people do it. Don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to cope with. And if you're not enjoying the process, in other words, looking around, seeing what's going on. We were hiking at night after up to just before the sunrise. And, you know, it was like so hard and my lungs hurt so bad. But then I could look, you have to remember, like, what are you here for? You know, look at that. Look at the stars. You know, a lot of people just don't enjoy the process.
Yeah, that's a really, really great, great point. So what's something you're really, really proud of?
Well, I am proud of hiking Mount Fuji. I'm also proud of, you know, quitting my job and working my life. You know, a lot of people just slave away forever and never really make a decision to live the way they want to live. And, you know, sometimes there are sacrifices. You know, the biggest one people say is, you know, they can't quit because of insurance. Well, you know, a lot of times you can make more money and buy your own insurance and control your life. You know, people just don't think straight. Sometimes they get so lulled into security. And, you know, I guess, you know, just don't worry about it. As long as you're put one step in front of the other and have a positive attitude, enjoying every minute of every day, things will go right.
That's great, great advice. So any other advice you'd like to give to others who want to be entrepreneurs, especially those looking at a direct sales business, thinking about leaving one career to start another? So any advice that you might want to give them?
Well, yeah, I mean, direct sales is the way to go. I mean, anybody can be an entrepreneur. You can create your own company. You can create your own business. You can be a consultant. But, you know, it's a great tool to provide the support. The support of the industry is what makes it so unique, is that you always have someone up, even if you're the direct person above you isn't necessarily engaged. There's always someone that will work with you and teach you. And so it's like you're in business for yourself, but you're not alone. And it's one of the best ways to make a transition into whatever it is you want to do. Direct sales can be a dream come true, or it can be the path to get there.
That's really great. And I know one of the things that you've shared with me is study, study, study. So that's my big motto in life. People ask me, how do you keep doing what you've done for so long? And it's like, because I remain a student. I'm always learning. I always stay in the mindset of what is a new way? What is a different way? How has the industry changed? I'm constantly reading books. So I know that's important, that you feel that's important too. Do you want to just elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, you know, the person who spends, I don't know, I'm just going to make up numbers, 20 minutes a day, you know, studying their chosen trade will be in the top 5% of that trade within the end of a year. You know, that's not an official statistic. There are official statistics out there somewhere. But the point is that when you make a commitment of studying your chosen trade, no matter what it is, you will move to the top of it.
That is great. So why don't you share with our listeners anything new that you're working on? And then, of course, again, how can they find you?
Okay. Well, they can email me if they want, deb@debbixler.com. And my cashflowshow.com is the website for Party Plan Trainers. And I do answer my phone, 717-751-2793. So I would love to hear from everybody. What am I working on right now? I'm really nothing new so much. I guess I do work with corporate clients as well as field distributors. And, oh, I guess the newest thing, you know, it's tough to stay up on technology, right?
Yes.
You know, and I like to think I do a pretty good job of that. I don't always get involved in all the new social networks until I see that they're going to stick around. But I have been working with a company and some direct sales companies as well in replicated mobile apps. You know, everybody has a replicated site, and you know, 70% of the shopping that takes place these days takes place within an app on a mobile phone. And that's something, a piece of the direct sales industry that is sort of missing. And so I have been working with a company that has some trend-setting technology that can take the replicated site of the entire field distributors within a company and turn it into an app so that they can share it with their consumers. And that's pretty exciting. We've launched it to two teams and we're working on some of the bugs. So if anybody needs any information on that, they can reach out to me. But that's what has taken up most of my time in the business world over the last, say, year. No, 8 months maybe.
Okay. You know. Great. Well, Deb, gosh, this has been awesome. And I just want to thank you for giving of your time today. Thanks for being on the show. And thanks for continuing to inspire others, including myself.
Okay, I appreciate it. If anybody wants to see the Fuji pictures, just shoot me an email and I have an album online I can share with them.
And they're awesome. I've looked at every single one of them over and over. So it's just been, that story was a real inspirational one to me. And so thanks for just living your life with work and balance, life in work and life balance. I think it's a good example for all of us to strive to do what we love. And that's what the show is really all about, is working from your happy place, enjoying the ride, as you said, enjoying the little things along the way. So thank you once again.
Thank you for also being inspiration in my life, Belinda. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.